The following sermon was presented at the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Please follow the noble example of those in Acts 17:11 and search the scriptures to find out whether these teachings are true and accurate. If you have any questions or concerns, you can find our contact information on our website at defendthegospel.com. That's defendthegospel.com. And now to the sermon.
With the announcements made, I want each of you to know how much I appreciate your presence tonight. I look out and see the Hagwood, Brother Doug and Sister Diane Hagwood and Sister Dana here, and I want to thank them for coming. They mean a lot to me and have encouraged me a lot in the preaching of the gospel, and they're very near to me. My son often gets cards from them, and he just is thrilled when they send him cards, and I want them to know how much they mean to me and thankful for them being here tonight. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. And while you're getting settled, if you're visiting with us, as I am, we want you to know we consider you an honored guest. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that's been suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things are ready. But you can make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. Or if you need to be restored to Christ, we'll be glad to pray with and for you if you'd make your way to the front and let your request be made known. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look if you will, beginning at verse 8. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to Him. For to this end I also wrote, that I may put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. At this time, the Apostle Paul is addressing the church at Corinth in this second epistle, and he's concerned about them not forgiving. And we'll come back to that point in just a moment, but I want you to take note that in verse 11, he lets the people of God know at this occasion that the devil is real. And tonight, I want to talk about some things the devil knows. We're not going to go back and talk about the origin of the evil one. We're not going to go back and talk about all those things. But what I'd like for us to do is just to look at the fact that there are some things the devil knows and recognize that the devil is trying to do whatever he can to keep us out of heaven. The first thing I want us to do is take our Bibles and look in the Gospel of Luke and the 8th chapter. And the first thing I want us to recognize tonight is that the devil knows when the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. Anytime that someone preaches the word of God, whether it be in front of a crowd or one-on-one, I'll tell you the devil knows when the word is sown. Notice, if you will, in verse 11, that Jesus is explaining the parable of the soul and the sower. And notice he said the seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are the ones who hear it. Now watch what he says next. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. I want you to recognize that when the word of God is preached, that the devil will do everything he can to keep the word of God from taking root. The devil will do whatever he can tonight to keep the word of God from spreading like it should. Then if you look in verse 13, he talks about the ones, the seed that fell on rocky ground. And he says, these are the ones who hear the word with joy, and these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Notice there may be some that hear the word of God and with joy receive the word of God and obey the word of God. But notice the devil doesn't quit. If he isn't able to keep the word of God from being put into the heart, he'll do whatever he can to keep it from being rooted in the heart. And he'll keep tempting man, that man will be led astray and that man will not live for God. Then if you look in verse 14, notice he says, now the ones that fell among thorns are those when they have heard go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart, kept it, and bear fruit with patience. Now I want you to observe the third and fourth one. I'm fearful that many of us just assume that we are good ground. But I want to raise a question tonight. Are you bearing fruit? Because he looks at verse 13 and or verse 14, and I'm fearful many of us fall in that category. That we are being choked out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and we're not bringing any fruit to maturity. And notice, my friend, the devil will do whatever he can to keep us from becoming fertile ground. To keep us from becoming good ground. To keep us from having a good heart and bearing fruit with endurance. So I'll tell you one thing I can put down tonight. The devil knows when the Word of God is preached, and the devil will do whatever he can to keep that Word from being proclaimed. He'll make us fearful. He'll try to make us be people that don't want to offend anybody. And if we are fearful of preaching the truth lest we offend somebody, then my friend, we are people that the devil is happy to see. Because we are not standing up on the Word of God with boldness and conviction. But then if you have your Bible, if you would kindly turn with me to the book of Acts and the fifth chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts and the fifth chapter, notice with me a second time we read about the devil, a second thing that the devil knows. This is talking about the man identified as Ananias and his wife Sapphira. And you remember they sold the possession. And they kept back part of the proceeds. And they were aware of what they were doing. Then they came and they laid the money at the apostles' feet, acting like they were giving all. Then if you look in verse 3, Peter says to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself?" You know the second thing the devil knows tonight? The devil knows it's convenient to lie. Not only to tell a lie, but to live a lie. What was the problem with Ananias and Sapphira? They were living a lie. They wanted to probably look like Barnabas, who had earlier in chapter 4 sold a lot of his land and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Perhaps they were wanting to be glorified as good givers. Perhaps they wanted to hear praises of men. Perhaps they wanted the apostles to give them credit. But notice that Peter, instead of giving him credit, says, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" And then he says in verse 4, "You've not lied to men, but to God." Do you know, my friend, one way we can lie tonight is to live a life of hypocrisy? To act like we're children of God in front of others that are children of God, but when we go our own way, we live completely contrary to the will of God. You know what a hypocrite is? Somebody that when you see them on Sunday, they don't act right. You ever thought of that? Somebody that if you see them Monday through Saturday, they act one way. And then when you see them on Sunday, they act a completely different way. I remember one time down in Charlotte, Tennessee, someone asked me if a member, we had an individual was a member where I preached. And I said, "Yes, he is." They said, "You ought to hear the way he talks. You ought to hear the way he cuts up." And I'll tell you, my friend, it was an embarrassment. And I thought to myself, what a bad advertisement for a local church to be living a lie. But more importantly, what a bad advertisement to say that you belong to Christ. And I'll tell you, my friend, the devil knows it's convenient to lie. The devil wants us to practice hypocrisy so that people can blame that on God, even though it's not God's fault. But that brings up a third thought in our study. Open your Bible, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, where we began. And I want you to stop and think for a moment. The devil knows that it's easy to want to not to forgive. Here was the man, most likely we read about in 1 Corinthians 5, who'd been withdrawn from because he was living with his father's wife. And he was living in sin. And they had not withdrawn from him. And Paul confronts them and says, "You're endorsing sin. You need to get sin out. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You can't endorse it." So they withdraw from the man. And it appears this man has repented. This man has begged for forgiveness. He's changed his life. And now they're not willing to forgive. And Paul says, "You need to forgive lest Satan take advantage of us." Don't be ignorant of his devices. If this man truly is penitent, then you forgive that one. You know, sometimes I've seen brethren who act like they won't forgive over anything. I remember a family that got divided down in Charlotte over some farmland. Two brothers went to the same congregation, wouldn't even shake hands. And I'll tell you something, my friend. You remember that John said, how can you love your God whom you've not seen and love your brother whom you have seen? If you don't love your brother, my friend, how can you proclaim you love God? But that brings up another thought. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Jude for just a moment. And when you come to the little epistle of Jude, notice with me, if you will, kindly, that Jude writes in verse 16 that these are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people. Watch the next two. To gain advantage. Where did we just read that? 2 Corinthians 2. That's what Satan's trying to do. Gain advantage. He said, but you, in verse 17, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Now look at what he says in verse 16. That there are grumblers and complainers walking according to their own lusts. Have you ever thought that the devil will do whatever he can to make us be people that always complain and always grumble? And I'll tell you something, everywhere I've been, I find that there are people that want to complain about something. Sometimes I'm the fella, and I've had to repent of it. But there have been times I've been with people and they always have something to grumble about. Nothing's ever good. And they always have something bad to say. And notice, my friend, they use words to flatter people to gain advantage. And what are they wanting to do? They're wanting to walk according to their lust. They're sensual. They cause divisions in the local church. Why? Because they don't get their way. You ever thought that the devil knows if he can cause conflict in the local church, that he can keep that church from growing? If he can stir up trouble in a local church and have everybody grumble and complain, and if he can get people to walk according to their own lust instead of following the will of God, and if he can have people be sensual, that'll cause division? You want to know why churches divide? Oh, sometimes it's over doctrine, but I'll tell you a lot of reasons why churches divide. We got so many grumblers and complainers and sensual people who want their way instead of God's way. And they're willing to fight you tooth and nail to get their way. But then if you have your Bible, look if you will in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And find out something else the devil knows. If you will, in 1 Corinthians 7, to save some time, drop down to verse 5. In verse 5, he says, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. You know what else the devil knows? He knows how to corrupt a marriage. And the devil will do all that he can to get spouses to deprive one another, to be fussing towards one another, to act unkind to one another, and to divide the home. And I'll tell you, he's done a masterful job at dividing homes. He's done a masterful job at husbands and wives not giving due affection to one another and showing the love that they should show to one another. He's done a masterful job at tearing down the home life. And I'll tell you, my friend, that when you look around Nashville, Tennessee, or Smyrna, or wherever you may be, you'll find that the home life is crumbling, and it's because the devil has got a foothold on so many people. We look at God's Word, and we scoff at it. We look at this command in verse 5, and we act like we don't have to keep it. That's just as much a command in the home as any other command in the Bible. And you know something, my beloved friend? If the devil gets his foot in the home, he'll take the whole home. But that brings up something else. I want you to know something else the devil knows. Look in your Bible in the book of James in the 4th chapter. And when you come to the book of James in the 4th chapter, look at verse 7. In verse 7, the devil knows when he's resisted. Notice he said, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, so many times we talk about fleeing from temptation, and we need to do so. Paul told Timothy to flee from youthful lust. And we need to be those like Joseph who flee from temptation. But I'll tell you something else, my friend. I want you to note that when you resist the devil, he will flee from you. You know what that takes? Backbone. You know what that takes? Conviction. The only way you're going to be able to face the lion, as Peter called him in 1 Peter 5, is to have backbone to stand up and submit to God, draw near to God, and let Him draw near to you and purify your heart, and you stand against the wiles of the devil. He knows when he's resisted. He knows when it takes when an individual will stand up and say, I'm not going to give in to temptation. You remember in Luke 4 when he tempted the Lord and the Lord would not give in? What did it say? He went away. But what did he do? For a time, looking for a more opportune time. But then I want you to look at something else. If you have your Bible, turn to the Revelation letter and the 12th chapter. There's something else the devil knows. In Revelation chapter 12, look at verse 12. He says, therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath. Why is it? Because he knows he has a short time. You know, sometimes we get in our mind that the devil's kingdom is hell. That's not true. He's called the God of this age, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Ephesians chapter 3 or chapter 2 talks about him being the prince of the air. This is the only kingdom he'll ever have is what he's able to get established here. Whoever he gets to follow him here. This is all he has. Hell's going to be his punishment. Matthew 25:41. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, but any man who decides to follow the devil follows him into hell. Any individual that doesn't want to receive the grace and love and mercy of God and yet desires the wrath of God, they follow the devil, the evil one, their master, into everlasting punishment. It's their choice, but that's their leader. That's who they follow, and that's where they'll go. But the devil knows he has a short time. And because he knows he has a short time, he's doing everything he can tonight to keep the Word of God from being preached, to corrupt the home life, to divide the church, to get people to be a hypocrite. He's doing everything he can so that we don't forgive one another and help one another get to heaven. He's doing everything he can to keep from being resisted because he wants a foothold. And I'll tell you, my friend, it's high time that people in the body of Christ see what the devil's doing and we stand up to him. And it's time we start telling others what the devil knows. Because I'll tell you something. If we don't tell them, no one will. And the devil will do whatever he can to get us to lose our soul. Open your Bible one last time to the book of John in the 8th chapter. And I want you to ask this question. In John chapter 8, when Jesus is talking, and he's talking to religious leaders of this time, notice what he says about the devil in verse 44. You are of your father, the devil. That reminds me of 1 John 2:16-17 when he calls them children of the devil. Here he says, you are of your father, the devil. Your father, on Father's Day, he says here, the father's the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and he does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources for he is the liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Who wants a father like that? But you only have two choices. Either God is your heavenly father and you're in His family. You're His child. You're walking according to His will. You're producing the fruit of the Spirit. You're living to give Him glory. You're living to the name of, as a Christian, to praise Him. Or the devil's your father. That's the only two options you have. And you can only have one father. And so tonight I ask you, who's your father? And if you're not living right with God, I'll tell you who it is. It's the evil one. And the evil one will get you to believe a lie and live a lie instead of practicing truth. What a contrast. God is called the God of truth. The devil is a liar. God is a God that gives light. The devil is dark. God is the one that gives love. The devil is the one that sows discord. Which one do you belong to tonight? There are some things the devil knows, and we need to be careful lest he take advantage of us. If you're here tonight and you need to obey the gospel, our prayers you'll do so as together we stand and sing.
Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and I'd just like to ask you a question. Are you a child of God? Are you really a Christian? I mean the way the Bible says to become a Christian. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. After we hear, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 8:24, the Lord said, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. After hearing and believing, we must be willing to repent of our sins, change our lives, decide to serve the Lord, Acts 2:38. Now we're ready to confess our faith in Christ. Romans 10:9-10 says that with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we are prepared for baptism. The Lord said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you want your sins washed away? This verse tells us how it is done. After doing this, we are now a Christian, a child of God, and we are commanded to remain faithful to the Lord until we die in order to receive the crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Again, thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.